The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Okay, back to reality from Calamity Jane to Calamity Coronavirus. Alan Barrett, the ESRI Chief Executive, and Danny McCoy, CEO of IBEC, both whose job it is to give us an overview of the economy, now have quite a lot of data to look at. Fiscal Department of Finance, Exchequer Returns and Welfare Live Register figures yesterday. And a stark warning today from the central bank that the crisis could take the economy into very severe recession territory. Alan, first of all, visibility emerging. Discuss.
Okay, so today we had the central bank coming out with their forecast. And of course, last week we had the ESRI. And while both organizations are obviously to a great extent sort of grappling in the dark here, there is a sort of a consensus of sorts emerging. So both ourselves and the ESRI and the central bank, we looked at this scenario that if you close the economy essentially down, the sort of restrictions that we've seen, if you do that for about 12 weeks, and then you start easing, we've done the analysis. So the sort of figures that are emerging, it looks like unemployment, for example, could go from, you know, up to about 20-25%, which is obviously horrendous. You're looking at a contraction in the economy, the order of about 6 or 7%. And the fiscal deficit sort of heading up in the direction of, again, 6-7% of GDP. So there's a sort of a degree of consensus across these sort of scenarios. Now, of course, you know, again, to be clear, these are relatively optimistic scenarios in a sense that they assume that you have the restrictions for 3 months and then a reasonably rapid recovery happens thereafter. So it's optimistic, but at least it's there. The second dimension then, apart from the sort of the forecast, we're also getting now the data about from the Department of Social Protection. So we're seeing the actual number of people who are coming on the live register. And we had that pretty awful figure of the additional 300,000 or so yesterday. And then, of course, we're getting the fiscal information from the Department of Finance, just showing that the tax take is down. So a picture is certainly emerging. But of course, still the great unknown is how long is this difficulty going to persist for?
All right, Danny McCoy, you've launched today proposals for a new emergency liquidity and cash flow measures of another 30 billion. This is on top of the taxpayers' exposure in terms of welfare needs and loss of tax.
Yeah, Ivan, the fiscal position is going to reflect what's happening in the unemployment numbers. And as the central bank said today, look, this thing is fundamentally different in nature. While observationally people are unemployed at the same level now as the financial crisis, this is not a collapse in unemployment. This was a deliberate strategy to dismantle the labour market for a higher purpose in this case, to try and do a public health initiative. And so the building blocks are there. So we can see this coming back, but we need the latitude of the room to provide the kind of buffers which the state is providing and has stepped up to the mark, in fairness. We'll need to go further to ensure that businesses are there and have the cash flow to get out of it. And it's going to be symmetrical around the world. It may not be on the same time frame, given that China happened first and America is probably coming a little bit later. But fundamentally, you have to get the cash into the system to get the reconstruction again of putting the labour market back together again. So the observation that you have a big deficit or a big unemployment rate has to be seen in the context of what's actually been done. This is not a regular economic downturn. This was a deliberate strategy by states and by businesses to actually put people into unemployment state, or more furlough might be the better description of it, that they're just on an extended leave period here and need to be kept connected to their employment.
But what's your 30 billion ask today?
So fundamentally, so the GDP, this measured off activity, is around 300-350 billion, so it loves to get a bit smaller now as a result of the crisis itself. So you're looking for every 1% that the government has talked about, 3.5 billion. So at this stage, the government's already committed 7 billion in terms of the pandemic, social welfare, and the wage subsidy scheme. This is really to keep businesses liquid in the recovery phase and the kind of extension. And so We already know the type of things we're going to need for our society on the way out of this. They're the same ones 4 weeks ago. We're going to need more public infrastructure. We're going to need more housing and so on. So there's an opportunity here to stimulate the economy, get cash into businesses, and also the government needs to really pump prime the economy here. The fiscal rules have been put aside for now, as have state aid rules. All of these levers need to be pulled, and they'll all be temporary. All those horrific numbers will be temporary numbers.
So just so that I get it clear, what's the 30 billion you're looking for? Is it underwriting loans from banks to businesses? Just explain it to me.
Exactly. It's the underwriting of the loans to business. So the central banks of the world are going to increase the money supply. So the money is going to be created. It has to find the correct kind of channels in which to get it to businesses. That may be through the traditional banking system, maybe through the European Investment Bank, maybe from the government, actually, in some cases, considering taking equity in some businesses, if there's a desire that they don't get into debt. So in order to get an economy the scale of Ireland, which has got rather big in a business footprint, 30 billion euros is not actually a big deal. Like, the wage bill in Ireland at any given year is about 100 billion euros. So the numbers are pretty extraordinary, but we're in extraordinary times. If the business model gets up and running, it'll generate the returns to be able to pay that back really quickly.
OK, Alan, I am listening to a lot of this, and I took from John Fitzgerald yesterday the kind of adding to the national debt. The fiscal deficit from the last crash was 120 billion bailing out the banks, and this will be 30 billion. But, I mean, let's be honest here. Let's fast forward to this time next year, and there's 30 billion hole in the public finances, and there's a deficit from 2020 of whatever it is, 12 billion. At the end of the day, some Minister for Finance has got to either cut expenditure, a la the Troika, or increase taxes to start filling that. No?
Not entirely. I mean, I think, firstly, to pick up one of the points that Danny made, I mean, this is a most unusual recession. And actually, I mean, apart from the fact that the source of the recession was unusual, one of the things that is very, very clear is that the economics profession is almost united in the policy response that we think should be forthcoming. So if you go back to the last recession, I mean, there were very healthy and hearty discussions around whether austerity was the right approach to this, whether we should have been defaulting on debt, whether we should have been trying to stimulate our way out of it. And there was a sort of a lively discussion across economists about what the best approach was. But this time round, there is a sense that I think all economists understand that we're going back to the lessons of the Great Depression of the late 1920s to the early 1930s. And the great lesson there was that really stimulus was what was needed. And again, to kind of draw on the Draghi phrase, you know, whatever it takes, needs to be done at this stage. I think to reverse what you're saying, I mean, you're asking the question, well, if we do all these things, the bill is going to be enormous. I think the problem is if we don't do all these things, the level of GDP, the potential contraction is going to be such that we're going to be in a much greater difficulty. And again, I think all economists have understood this and have argued for it, that the two main things government want to achieve at this stage is, one is supporting incomes of people who've been laid off or made redundant. So you want to make sure, for very good social reasons, that people still have incomes, but for economic reasons too, you want to support people to make sure they're doing some element of spending.
And there's a consensus amongst all economists saying that, but I put it to you, between 2007 and 2010 there was people going around talking about a soft landing, and there was, you know, a lot of consensus about this, and it turned out to be absolutely wrong.
Point, actually. A lot of people think that the only thing economists do is forecast, okay? And in all truth, it's only a tiny proportion of what we actually do. And like anybody trying to tell the future, and actually after your political forecast, I've been really looking forward to being on your show and you starting to talk about forecasts.
Right.
But okay, economic forecasts are always going to be dodgy. But where economists are actually of much greater social value is in terms of the policy prescriptions. And just to repeat the point, the notion that you support incomes and that you keep businesses viable viable while you can, to make sure that when the pandemic is sort of behind us, or at least moving behind us, you want to make sure there's an economic infrastructure in place to take full advantage of the recovery, so you have an economy that's in a position to pay back the money that you've actually borrowed. So there is going to be a burden, there is going to be a difficulty, but the plan here is you want to just have the debt as long dated as possible, preferably shared at a euro bond level, and then a sort of an economy that will allow you to outgrow these sort of things over a period of time.
Well, see, Danny, where I'm coming from is that if you play back the tape of the US from the right across, the UK right across, from Boris Johnson down, from Trump down, and let's go back to early March. This was a Chinese hoax. Cheltenham could go ahead. The Anfield match could go ahead, which, when you look back, was denial about the reality of the contagion when all the evidence is there. I put it to you that there's now a consensus of denial that there is inevitably going to be austerity.
Well, that may be the case, may turn out to be, but there is actually choices here. Just like you said on the public health, if people made different choices, and we perhaps might be fortunate in Ireland to have learned the lessons from other jurisdictions. Some are a bit slower. Ours was, I think, a measured ratcheting up on the health one. If we get the coordination right on the economic one, we can also see a kind of flattening of the curve on the economic crisis. And not everybody will get back to work immediately. We still have to deal with the social issues that we had earlier on in terms of housing. And I think that's going to become really critical, actually. The channels and how we boost the economy back this time will be expansionary. It won't be austerity. If it is austerity, to Alan's point, you can either pay the cost now and get the economy motoring again to pay back the debt, or you have the same debts ultimately with a kind of an economy that's structurally broken. So we have a choice here. And just on that last bit about housing, well, it was controversial on the way in to the lockdown last week in terms of the building industry. The need for housing stock remains. And in fact, one of the things I'm sure that people are experiencing now that they're confined to their houses, lots of people will find that the type of housing structure they're in is just not suitable for their stage of life or family development. And so the notion that we would leave that kind of critical investment for longer than needs be on the way out of here, I think will be a false reasoning. We need to start to see at an appropriate timing, once we get the call on the health going past the peak, we really need to start activity coming up again. The unemployment will fall. Without activity, the payback for any temporary spike in the public finances will also go.
You see, words like temporary spike in the public finances in terms of V-shaped recovery, there is nowhere in the world that has come out the other side of this from Wuhan. Hong Kong had to slap restrictions on. You know, the food is still only delivery only in Wuhan, we just heard. The point is this, that is your best guess, Danny and Alan. I put it to you, the fact of the matter is we just don't know whether, because, I mean, if you look at the EY report this week, the thing that I found disturbing was, right, we lose 500,000 jobs, whatever it is, but they had a figure of 177,000 jobs that would be displaced permanently. Those businesses would not reopen. Have you factored that into your forecast, Alan?
Well, again, just to come back to the broader point, I mean, absolute worst case scenario, a vaccine for this thing is going to come along. Okay, now even if that is next year, an end to this will actually come about.
That is a good point. That is a good point. Yeah.
That again, this is going to go on forever, I think, is misjudged. And you are right. It could go on a long time, and it could be very, very difficult. But again, the consensus, and I mean, it's a consensus not just because I'm talking about economists who are my colleagues and everything like that, but I think the experience, and again, if it goes back to the 1930s and other situations, that if you delay and if you don't put in the sort of supportive responses earlier on, you are absolutely dooming the economy to a prolonged period of lower activity than otherwise would be the case. So I think in this initial stage, absolutely, I think things need to be done and the stimulus needs to be in place. If it is the case that this thing is dragging on and on and on, you might want to revisit and you might have to say at a certain point, OK, the bill is mounting up in such a way that we might have to rethink it. But I think at this point, as of today, today to say, oh, well, we're not sure where this is going, so we should put down the brakes now. I think, again, history and a whole range of other things will tell you that that is just a very, very bad idea.
Well, finally, Danny, I put it to you that there is chapter and verse and there's a stability pact, which is a very finite thing, which is the debt to GDP ratio. And at the end of the day, so the national debt today, I don't know, what is it, 210 billion, it's north of 200 billion. So you add 30 billion to that. I mean, if GDP takes a slump, is there any level of public debt that you would worry about the sustainability of it, irrespective of the short-term palliative need for this?
I think two bits, just take a look at that. One, it could double, right? We've been there before. We've been at 120% and this economy came back and the business community said it would. And lots of people were in skepticism back when we were saying this back in 2011, 2012. But that was coming from a fundamentally different economic problem where trust had broken down. The world's not lacking in trust here. In fact, it's the world against the virus at the moment. What will be the difficulty, and this is a natural reaction, just like in the health where people will hoard, if businesses and if governments hold on to the cash that's going to be created by the central banks and don't pass it on, then the demand won't be there to get people back to work or for services, and we will have a recession. It's going to be important that people lean against their instincts here, a bit like coming together by staying apart on the health side. The natural reaction is to hoard cash now, but it'd be the wrong thing to do. The money's going to be pumped in to make sure it goes around to get us kick-started again. So that's our challenge. It's going to be a community response challenge that we all together try and get that cash moving around to get people back to work, to get businesses back to where they were. Nothing is broken. Nobody is more stupid at the end of the month than at the start of the month. All the machinery and capital are in the factories and ready to go again. This is not a war. This wasn't a damage. This wasn't a whole swathe of the young workers being killed. It is an awful scenario for society, but it's containable and it's definitely temporary.
All right. My thanks to the boss of the ESRI, Alan Barrett, and Danny McCoy, the boss of IBEC, both in very influential positions on the same page. I don't know if they're sugarcoating it. In fact, you can make up your own mind.
The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Together, let's play our part by staying apart. Nissan. Innovation that excites.